Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 11:11 a.m. and that is on November 23rd. The US markets are shut, and happy Thanksgiving to anyone in the US or North America who's celebrating. And I guess when we look at some of the consistent trends that we have out there, we have a lot to be thankful for. And we can, of course, think about thanking Auntie Janet Yellen for providing us such a benign environment with a refusal to withdraw a lot of liquidity until they were absolutely certain that we had a sustainable economic expansion. But what I find particularly interesting is that one of the most common arguments that I've heard from the financial media over the last few months is that emerging markets are what you need to own. But it is interesting that the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, and it has been trending very consistently higher since the beginning of this year. And when we look at that over, even for example, the last decade, this is one of the most consistent periods we've seen. In fact, the last time we saw anything even remotely close to this type of consistent advance was right off the low in 2009. But what is equally important is that only four shares represent 17% of this index, and they're all technology shares. And in there you have Taiwan Semiconductor, Samsung Electronics, and one has to at least begin to question why Taiwan and South Korea are still considered emerging markets, but nonetheless they're in the emerging markets index, and so is Alibaba and Tencent. Therefore, when investors are moving abroad and looking to escape the high valuations that we see on Wall Street, and they look at the emerging markets, well, what they're in fact ending up with is a slightly different iteration of what they were trying to escape, which is an index that is increasingly focused on the technology sector. The two big technology markets that are growing rather quickly are China and the USA, and China has a significant weighting within the emerging markets index, and not least from those US listed or technology shares, and are most particularly those that are listed outside of mainland China. And it was in positive territory again yesterday. Now, when we look at the A-share index in Shanghai, well, then we are presented with a market that has been trending higher in a gradual manner for the last... there is Siri. It seemed to be taking over. Excuse my phone. The Shanghai index pulled back really quite sharply in here today. And I think that is the biggest downward dynamic we've seen in more than a year. When we look at the banking sector, then that's also worth keeping in mind that it had done frightfully well over the last four sessions and was in mildly negative territory in here today. But a lot of those technology shares are not listed on the mainland. What that suggests is that when we look at this trend, we can see very closely that this is a market which is has accelerated, and one of the primary consistency characteristics is that it hasn't pulled back by more than $30 at any time in the last year. It's pulled back by $20 in the last two sessions, and when we look at this index, this share, we can see on a weekly basis that it has accelerated higher. So Tencent is susceptible to some mean reversion. If we pull that back and look at the Nasdaq, for example, then we can say something broadly similar, that it isn't nearly as overextended and you don't have the same degree of overextension on the broader index, but it is susceptible to mean reversion. It has done really quite well over the last 8 weeks, so we're due the next consolidation. But then we have to ask ourselves, where are we in terms of this advance? Because the Nasdaq's trend has been more consistent over the last year than at any point in the last decade. And again, that is something that we see on the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. The reason they have such commonality is because they're dominated by technology shares. When we look at what, and I'm going to post a quote from a CNBC article in here today. What I see increasing evidence of is earnings agnostic strategies that are being adopted not simply by hedge funds but by regular people. What do I mean by that? Well, the first off is that the volatility index has been really quite low and it remains low. So when we look at volatility and the fact that short volatility trades have been doing so very well, what that also suggests is that the concurrent way to benefit from that is to short volatility and go long the stock market. Every time you have a little spike in the volatility, then you have people coming in to buy the market. So you have what I would consider volatility arbitraging in terms of buying the dips and shorting volatility. Then you have risk parity strategies, which are again to buy the dips and to offset risk by taking an opposite position in the bond market. Again, this has been possible because correlations have been so very tight. But again, this has nothing to do with valuation. It's a pure momentum strategy. And then you have the adoption of ETFs. And ETFs are, again, passive strategies. And obviously, they have very clear benefits from the perspective of investors because what you get is lower fees and you have absolute exposure to the index. You're going to underperform by just a tiny margin because of the low fee, but it isn't going to be nearly to the same extent as you would have had with with mutual funds. And what a lot of people found out with mutual funds in 2008 is that they were closet trackers anyway. So that has been one of the primary benefits of the move into passive investing. But when people start to think of ETFs as risk-free, that's when you start to get problems because when you buy the index, you're obviously buying the bigger shares, and obviously, the more those larger shares advance, then the greater the likelihood is that you're going to have a bigger move in the index. It's going to be more insulated from those that are declining. So, for example, Macy's and Under Armour have pulled back in a dynamic manner in here this year. But the reality is that their biggest impact on the index is when they're at high prices. If it goes from 11 back to 10, that might be an almost 10% decline, but it's unlikely to have nearly the same effect on the index because the market cap of the share has declined so much already. So that further emphasizes the impact that the moves of large cap companies have. And what that also suggests is that by buying the index, what you are in fact buying isn't you might have started off by buying a less concentrated portfolio, but as the weighting of certain sectors increases within the index, you are buying an increasingly concentrated portfolio that is earnings agnostic, that they just simply do not look at earnings. Now, we know that that value investors have been talking for years at this stage about the cyclically adjusted PE ratio and the fact that it is at its highest level since 2000 and or since 1999, I think to be more correct. Let me pull that chart over for you. When we look at this index and just address it from the perspective of behavioral technical analysis and ask a simple filter question: is there any evidence that it has turned around? Is there any evidence that we have trend ending characteristics? The answer has to be no. But and what that also means is that we're going to get increasingly vociferous arguments from the value investor camp saying that these valuations are ridiculous. But as long as value agnostic strategies continue to represent profit potential and are low volatility and are continuing to make money, there's very li few people that are going to listen to what these value investors have to say. And this is characteristic of what we find in the third psychological perception stage of major bull and bear markets, which climaxes eventually and often in euphoria. Well, we don't have euphoria yet, and we still have consistent trends. So therefore, the potential is that some of these indices or some of these shares will accelerate higher. We have seen some that have accelerated higher. So then what that represents is a risk that, for example, some of these are maybe Nvidia would be probably an even better example. Nvidia has been rallying. And I remember back when its PE was around 28, and today it's around 55. So therefore, the rally since April has been on valuation expansion rather than a massive jump in its earnings. It is now $60 overextended relative to the trend mean. So there is the potential for mean reversion. We know what that looked like. It did it back at the beginning of this year. But the pace of the advance for a number of these shares is picking up, and what that means is that, and that's further confirmation that we are entering the third psychological perception stage. We also know what happens during the third psychological perception stage of a bull market, and it is that interest rates rise, and we're likely to have another interest rate hike in December. And this rate has been trending higher since 2013, and the pace of the advance has picked up, so it is due some consolidation at this stage. But interest rates are rising, and eventually those interest rates will represent a headwind for equity markets. And then we should really start to watch the most heavily leveraged companies, because when they exhibit top formation development, then we will have, I think, a lead indicator for the next source of trouble. And Tesla is certainly among those. They have tapped the equity markets, they've tapped the bond markets, and now they're tapping their consumers for large deposits for vehicles that will not be delivered for at least another 3 or 4 years. So they are burning through money. And then what they obviously need to do is to raise more of it. Now the share is currently holding around this $300 area, but it does need to continue to do so. If it were to fall back below 300, well, that would represent a failed upside break. It would represent a trend inconsistency, and we would have to ask bigger questions about the sustainability of the medium-term advance. Netflix is also a B-rated credit. It has a PE in well in excess of 100. But this is still a consistent trend on the upside. And as long as that remains the case, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But if it were to develop top formation characteristics, well, then we would probably have a further indication that there's trouble on the horizon. So I know that I've certainly been highlighting some of the potential lead indicators for trouble, because by and large we're still in a consistently trending environment. And as long as none of these potential lead indicators are signaling warnings, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, even if we do have short-term potential for some pause and consolidation. Now, when we look at Europe, for example, the FTSE 100 has pulled back to the region of the trend mean over the last few weeks, and it was a little steadier in here today, but it does need to continue to hold that the region of the trend mean. When we look at Europe, or most particularly the Eurozone, then it has unwound, at least partially unwound, some of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. It has paused around this 400 level, but perhaps more important is that it has ample scope for additional upside, that it is one of the few indices globally that is not testing its peak. The other significant market that has not yet got all the way back up to its peak is Australia. And the ASX 200 has paused around this 6,000 level in much the same way that the European index has paused around 400, but it is firming. This doesn't look like anything other than a mild consolidation. What we're also seeing increasingly is and I think it isn't an exaggeration to say that the resources sector doesn't have much commonality, but that we are seeing increasing evidence that they're going by turn. And the ASX 48, which is the ASX 300, the AS 48 is the ASX 300 resources index, and it has been outperforming the ASX now for a fair amount of time already, and this is pretty characteristic of the latter stages of a medium-term bull market, where you often see synchronized global economic expansion, which is accompanied by infrastructure development, which drives demand for industrial resources. That's exactly what we're getting, and obviously the other side of that is that it also helps to drive the increase in demand, increase in the central bank response to that synchronized expansion, which is to raise interest rates, and we are seeing increasing evidence of that. But I think the interest rate cycle is still in the very early stages. So when we look at the market, we can say that we are in the maturing phase of a medium-term expansion. That doesn't mean that it's over, but rather that, in fact, this is the time when we are most likely to see acceleration. One thing that is quite interesting is Bitcoin. And Bitcoin has been the market that has been symptomatic of this drive towards technology, that technology has now delivered even a new currency. So there is another way of thinking, is that when Bitcoin exhibits top formation characteristics, that's also likely to be a lead indicator. And so far, there is no evidence of that either. And I think that the cryptocurrency market is getting progressively more frothy. Overstock, and the CEO of Overstock, has been trying to pioneer the adoption of cryptocurrencies for some time, and they do accept them. And simply by saying that they're holding $409,000 worth of Bitcoin, the share has exploded on the upside. And relative to their market cap, that's an insignificant proportion. But it does demonstrate just how frothy this market is, that anything that has got any attachment to Bitcoin is rising in a rather dynamic manner. Definitely we are in the latter stages of an expansion, and there is increasing evidence that we are getting some accelerations, not yet in the broader markets, and I suspect that this will not end until we do get an acceleration in some of those broader indices. But obviously we also want to enjoy these accelerations, but also to bear in mind that acceleration is a trend ending. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.